So today's Torah portion, Mishpatim, Judgments, Exodus 21, verse 1 through 24, verse 18. I believe today's weekly readings from the Torah tell us about the Lord's view on relationships among the people of Israel. We are one body. Whether we want it or not, God looks at the community of believers as a family. So we are Mishpacha, which means family. And just as every family has its principles, rules, and traditions, internal laws that form the relationship between family members, and what makes the family complete and protected, the same way the Lord gave His statutes and decrees in order to formulate the principles of His spiritual family, to separate us for Himself, to make us special and holy to Him. And when Yeshua came, He did not abolish the commandments, but the Spirit of the Lord, Ruach HaKodesh, writes them on our hearts. I would like to read Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. It is about New Testament. It is about Brit HaHadashah. It is about today's. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Adonai. I will put my Torah into their mind, and upon their hearts I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So let's take a close look at the Ten Commandments that Moses received from God on Mount Sinai. I would like to read a very simple way. So let us go through all of them. So first one, do not worship any other God than the one true God. All other gods are false gods. Worship God alone. The second, do not make idols or images in form of God. An idol can be anything or anyone you worship by making it more important than God. If something or someone has your time, attention, and affections, it has your worship. It could be an idol in your life. Don't let anything take the place of God in your life. The third one, do not treat God's name lightly or with disrespect because of God's importance. His name is always to be spoken of reverently and with honor. Always honor God with your words. Fourth, dedicate or set aside Shabbat for rest and worship of the Lord. This is the holy day to the Lord. 5. Give honor to your father and mother by treating them with respect and obedience. The next one. Do not deliberately kill a fellow human being. Don't hate people or hurt them with words and actions. 7. Do not have sexual relations with anyone other than your spouse. God forbids sex outside of the bounds of marriage. Respect your body and other people's bodies. 8. Do not steal or take anything that doesn't belong to you unless you have been given permission to do so. 9. Do not tell a lie about someone or bring a false accusation against another person. Always tell the truth. And the last one. Do not desire anything or anyone that does not belong to you. Comparing yourself to others and longing to have that they have can lead to jealousy, envy, and other sins. Be content by focusing on the blessings God has given you and not what He has not given you. Be thankful for what the Lord has given you. And what's interesting about these commandments? The first four commands are about the relationship between man and the Lord. 4. And 6 commandments are about the relationships between people in Israel. The Lord Himself, knowing our nature, focuses us on the relationship inside of the community of the Lord. When God gave us His commands, He draws our attention to the ordinary everyday situations and interactions between people. I have a question for us. Why did he dedicate the 6 of the 10 commandments to human relationships? I think because we as a congregation need to be an example of his family in our everyday life. God's community, you and I are called to influence people in this world, change this world, and be an example to follow. That is why the Bible calls us the salt of the earth and the light of this world. Dear friends, this is so important to remember. Always remember it. Unfortunately, some part of the modern society of believers, without realizing it, has become a product of today's time. They're often trying to please and adapt to the values and thinking of the surrounding society. Today, in many places, it is no longer permitted to even dangerous to call sin a sin, to talk about righteousness and God's judgment. Some people no longer even talk about God because it is not fashionable and may offend someone. Sometimes we may not realize how much this society influences our thinking, behavior, and our attitude. I want to share one story from my own life. Many years ago, when I was 16, my father took me to help him build a small house for his friend. This house was located not far from the city where we then lived, in a lovely place by the river. I remember fresh air and the pleasant smell of grass and forest there. So we stayed at the construction site for about 2 weeks. And when we returned home and drove into the city, I remember how dirty and smoky the air was in my town. It was a contrast with the pleasant and fresh air in the area where the house was built. But what I want to say today is that after a few minutes, I got used to the city air and completely stopped paying attention to it. So, what a lesson here. In a sense, the same thing can happen in the spiritual world. We seem to grow accustomed to the spiritual atmosphere around us, the scene around us, and the opinion of the people around us. And we may have a dangerous temptation to get used to sin, stop calling evil, evil, and good, good. We can become tolerant and indifferent to what is happening around us and lead the life of an ordinary sinner in order not to stand out from the crowd, simply because most people live like that. But in doing so, we forget that the whole essence of our faith, our calling, our existence is what unites us with God. And He calls us to be light, to be salt, and breathe a fresh air in this world. I would like to read Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. It is a prophecy to into our lives. Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. For a Kohen's or priest's lips should guard knowledge, and instruction must be sought from his mouth, for he is a messenger of Adonai Tzevaot, the Lord Almighty. One more time. For a priest's lips should guard knowledge, and instruction must be sought from his mouth, for he is a messenger of Adonai Tzevaot. You are the messenger of the Lord Almighty. And people in this world are looking for a light, looking for an answer, looking for truth, and looking for God's love. Unfortunately, some communities have lost holiness and become a subculture, caring not about what the Lord wants, but about how to lure people, make comfort, and not offend anyone so that there will be more parishioners and more finances. I heard people say Yeshua spent time with all kinds of sinners And so we need to do the same. Yes, of course, he spent. But when Yeshua was with them, he was the event. He spoke the truth, and they came to him for God's freedom. He was the source of God's holiness, righteousness, and freedom to all people around him. I would like to read Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through verse 15. It is so important to remember about God's grace, God's mercy, and God's love. Titus 2, verse 11. For God's grace, which brings deliverance, once again, God's grace brings deliverance. Deliverance from what? From condemnation, from sin. Deliverance into the freedom of God. For God's grace, which brings deliverance, has appeared to all people. It teaches us to renounce godlessness and worldly pleasures, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives now, in this age, today. While continuing to expect the blessed fulfillment of our certain hope, which is the appearing of the Shekinah, or glory, of our great God, and the appearing of our Deliverer, Yeshua, the Messiah. He gave himself up on our behalf in order to free us from all violation of Torah and purify for himself a people who would be his own, eager to do good. And verse 15. These are the things you should say. Encourage and rebuke with full authority. Don't let anyone look down on you. Live a holy and righteous life. Be strong in your faith. Be example to people around you. This is your calling from the Lord. What I want to say, in today's society, faith can be very selfish. For some people, faith or Christianity is only about God and me and nobody else between. Some people think this way. I came to the congregation only to feel good. And as a result, many people are not part of any congregation. They serve no one, care for no one, help no one. Their faith and spiritual life revolve only around their own interests, needs, and ego. But the Lord, in creating people, wanted to make a spiritual family with spiritual principles and laws. I want to remind you of the most famous prayer, Shema Israel, hear, O Israel. The very idea of this prayer is all Israel, all together, all included. Following the Lord is our common concern, our common calling. Everyone rejoices when someone is successful. And when someone goes through difficult times or days, everyone worries and prays. We are together, we are mishpacha, we are the family, spiritual family. We come to the Lord together, sharing responsibility for each other, helping each other, praying for each other, serving each other, because we are a spiritual family. We are the mishpacha. Remember the prayer, Our Father who is in heaven. Do you remember these words? Give us our daily bread. And I would like to remind you, give us our daily bread. Us and our is plural. And first of all, we pray for spiritual bread, for God's word, for His will for all of us. Together we are of great value in the eyes of the Lord, and every one of us is essential and precious to the Lord and to the congregation. The first Jewish Messianic community was built on the same principles of unity and family. We can see a lot about it in the books of the New Testament. It was reality for them then, in those days. I would like to read Acts chapter 4, only one verse, verse 32, Acts 4, 32. Here's the example from the scriptures. Now the whole group of those who believed was one in heart and mind. No one would say anything he owned was his own, but they had everything in common. They helped each other. They were together and loved one another. This desire came from the Holy Spirit who lived in their hearts. And because of it, they were able to turn the whole world upside down. Do you agree that we must learn how to love? We have to learn to love and grow in it. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit to do so. We need the Holy Spirit. I want to bring a powerful example from the scriptures, from the New Testament. Let us open 1 John chapter 1 and let us look together. It's so important to remember. One of the important places of the scriptures. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with him and keep walking in the darkness, we are lying and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son Yeshua purifies us from all sin. Of course, this passage speaks about the communion of the Lord with us. But if you look in the context, if you look all the passage together, the whole message, we can see that this place of scriptures also speaks about relationships in the community of believers. When we have spiritual relationships, when we worship in the Spirit and the truth, the holy blood of Yeshua cleanses us from all sin. By the righteousness of the Lord, we can influence one another and we can be transformed into the image of God. And as a result of our spiritual fellowship and worship, verse 9, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I have an essential question for us today. Based on the passage just read in the 1 John 1:7-9, what will happen to a person who does not see the importance of community of believers and does not want to be part of God's plan, a member of a spiritual family or spiritual mishpacha? Can a person change and make tshuva, repentance, without the cleansing blood of Yeshua the Messiah? Please answer this question honestly for yourself. In conclusion, in today's Torah chapter, I want to show the same principle of how the blood of the covenant worked. The same principle that we just talked about. It is in Exodus chapter 24, today's Torah portion, Exodus 24, verse 6 through verse 8. Here is about the blood of the lamb, about blood of the sacrifice. Then Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half he poured out against the altar. He took the scroll of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. Again, they said, "All that Adonai has spoken, we will do and obey." And verse 8, the final verse, here is about the blood of the covenant. Then Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which Adonai has cut with you in agreement with all these words." The blood was sprinkled upon the people, served to seal the covenant, and they were together as one people of God. It is so important. This scripture makes it very clear that the sprinkling of blood granted the Israelites full access to God. In this case, sprinkling with blood is associated with forgiveness of sins or atonement from sins, about restoring their relationships with God. What could cover their sin? Nothing but the blood of the sacrifice. What could restore their relationship? Nothing but the blood of the sacrifice. Today we are under the new covenant with Yeshua the Messiah, the new covenant sealed by his own blood. Today it is still the blood of the sacrifice that makes us free. But now it is the blood of Yeshua, the only perfect sacrifice that frees us, that removes the condemnation of sin, that casts out fear, that allows us to boldly enter into the presence of the Lord. Now you are free to converse with God and enjoy His presence. The blood opens for us the entrance to the Holy of Holies, to our Heavenly Father, without reproach or censure. Do you remember Hebrews 10:19? It is a promise to us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Yeshua. We must come to our Father boldly, without fear. We must never doubt. When Moses sprinkled the blood of the sinful on the sinful Israelites, they didn't doubt that their sins were forgiven and the Lord accepted them. Today we are not sprinkled with the blood of bulls, goats, or lambs, but with the precious blood of the Messiah, the Lamb of God. However, sometimes we have more doubts and fear than the Israelites once did. We must praise God with a heart full of gratitude. No doubt about it. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel, and we will return to Brian and Deanne's home for a final song. Let us pray together. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yehi Adonai panavelecha v'yichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.